Let us open up God's holy word to the book of Ezekiel. We'll read the verses 16 to 27. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 to 27. This is the living word of the living God. Ezekiel 3 from verse 16. And at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning or speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you have not warned him. He shall die for his sin. And his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn a righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. And the hand of the Lord was upon me there. And he said to me, arise, go out into the valley, and there I will speak with you. So I arose and went out into the valley, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory that I had seen by the Kabar canal, and I fell on my face. But the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and he spoke with me and said to me, go shut yourself within your house, and you, O son of man, behold, cords will be placed upon you, and you shall be bound with them, so that you cannot go out among the people. And I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth, so that you shall be mute and unable to reprove them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who will hear, let him hear, and he who will refuse to hear, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. Let us pray for a blessing upon his word. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open these words, these ancient words, to us by the power of your Spirit, for you are both the everlasting and the eternal God. We pray that you would help us to hear, to be changed, to be moved, to be sent by your word. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In today's passage, Ezekiel comes to the graduation, so to speak, of his preparation as he is enlisted into the task that God has been preparing him for from Ezekiel chapter 1. Upon his graduation, God gives Ezekiel his title. He says, son of man, I have made you a watchman over the house of Israel. Whenever you hear from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. In other words, Ezekiel became God and Israel's watchman. A watchman was a man who would sit in an outpost with his eyes fixed upon the horizon to see if he could see danger rolling over the hills, if he could see enemy armies coming near. Now, the watchman was a man who was concerned with two kingdoms every day. In his heart, of course, on the one hand, he had his own kingdom, the country that he belonged to, Israel here, the people that he loved, and he worked hard to protect it. At the same time, in his mind was always the other kingdom or kingdoms that could roll in. His eyes, his heart was towards his own people, but his eyes were always fixed upon other kingdoms rolling in. He would stare at the horizon for endless hours or days or months or years with one goal, that he would know as soon as it would be humanly possible to see what dangers were approaching his country. And this is the role that God gave Ezekiel. Ezekiel became a man who served in two realms at the same time. The first realm was among the Israelites, his people in Babylon, among the kingdom of this earth. He would eat and sleep and drink just like everyone else. He belonged to the people of Israel. He was to serve God in this realm by doing God's will. He lived on the earth. He was an Israelite. He was a people among his people. The second realm was God's kingdom, God's word, his eyes and ears fixed upon God. He had to give his ears constantly and aim them towards God to hear God's word in the same way that a watchman would hear the nations rolling in over the hills that were going to destroy Israel. In this way, God was going to speak to Ezekiel, and he would be the first one to hear and bring the news, the message of God towards his people. And so he was to present himself in the council, that's council with C-O-U-N-C-I-L, of God. He was to listen carefully to God's word and declare it to Israel. Ezekiel was under obligation to bring God's word to his people. But not only Ezekiel was under this obligation to hear God's word and to declare it to his people. Who else was under obligation? Do you remember the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, verse 14? He says, I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. The Apostle Paul was a watchman in his day. Do you see that? God sent him out. He had given him the message, and he was to bring it out to the people of Israel under obligation. But not only Ezekiel and Paul are under obligation, for God has prepared a ministry for us in our days, a ministry where he has put us under the obligation to be a watchman for our people. We are not just people that live in church until the day that we go to heaven. We are a people that are part of this world. We are citizens of this nation. We're citizens of this world. And we have to have our ears fixed upon God's word and upon God to declare that word to our people. And so God knew where we would be born. He knew where we would live. He knew to whom we would belong and to whom we would speak. And so God has set the church in this day to bring the message of God to this people here around us, to declare God's message to our generation so that through the words of our mouths, God speaks. Very similar words that Ezekiel receives here. And so we will look this morning, not just as an interest in history to Ezekiel, as an history to Bible times, but to our own days. Because I think we need to see ourselves much more in Ezekiel's position, that we sit, so to speak, in the watchman's place, in the watchtower, being ready to hear God's word and to bring it to our people. And so I have 3 points for you this morning that we will look at. The first is the watchman's dependency on his senses. The second is the watchman's responsibility towards his people. And the third is the watchman's call to perseverance. Let's begin with his dependency on his senses. You see, a watchman's task is very simple, but very difficult. A watchman is not an inventor. He doesn't go around trying to discover or invent new things that have never been heard or said. He doesn't sit around imagining dangers, right? If he would go out and say, there's a big country coming up, it's Babylon running over the horizons, but it's not coming, then he would be fired. he would lose his reliability and nobody would be able to hear or benefit from his words. And so a watchman, he doesn't just invent judgments or punishment. He doesn't create messages. Instead, a watchman is an observer, a man who uses his senses to discover the reality of the circumstances, to hear what's going on and to see what's going on. It's very simple. You don't need a lot of training. I think a 12-year-old child could be a watchman because he doesn't have to fight. He doesn't have to go out. All he has to do is sit in the watchtower, keep his eyes on the horizon, and if there's danger coming, he's got to declare it to his superiors. And so he uses his eyes and ears to see and to hear. He watches, he listens, he learns. And only after he has seen and heard and learns, he begins to shout, to speak, to proclaim. And so his second responsibility is communicating that which he has seen and heard, not to change it, not to make it more dramatic or more easy, but to communicate, to speak with his mouth what he has seen with his eyes and what he has heard with his ears. Ezekiel 3 verse 17 says, "Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me." In other words, Ezekiel is to keep his senses focused upon God. Have his ears open and his eyes opened to hear and see God's word and declare that to the people. And just as he hears it, he must remember it and bring that word to his people. He becomes the messenger of God's word, God's voice. And you say, okay, we got the point. It's pretty straightforward. We got to hear and speak. But it's not that easy, is it? We can hear God's word, but hearing and speaking seems to be the hardest thing in all our life, to hear and speak it to our people in our day, because we don't like to be the bearers of difficult news. But I think that changes when we figure out that we are a watchman for our people. Because if we say we love the people of this nation, what we need to do is be a watchman that speaks the truth, that hears the truth. It's the same. All of you parents know this as for a fact, isn't it? When you're in the kitchen and you know that your child is putting his fingers towards a hot oven, what do you say? "Well, I really don't feel like being a strict parent today." So I just say, "Keep on going, little Bob. Keep on going, little Joey." That's not what we do. What we say is, "Stop. You're going to burn your hands, but if you step back, you'll be safe," right? Well, we are a watchman towards America. We are as a watchman towards the people of our days. When we hear God's word, this is the book that America needs to hear. This is the book that can save the souls of our people. So what we need to do is very simple. We need to hear and listen from this book and share it with the people of our generation, whether they hear or refuse to hear. Our responsibility, our task, our job is that simple. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, can we not say that the church is the voice of God towards this world? Or more specifically, Seven Reformed Church is the voice of God towards the people that we meet, towards this part of this city, this state, this country, this world. Isn't this exactly what God told the disciples in Matthew 28? To bring them God's word, go out and declare God's word, making disciples. Disciples is really a way of saying, teach them extensively God's word. So let's make it personal. For Paul the Apostle saw this call as an obligation to preach the gospel. We have an obligation towards this country that we love. God has made you a watchman to your family, to your friends, a watchman of God's word, of his people. God has made Seven Reformed Church a watchman to Grand Rapids. and to Michigan, God has made you a watchman to your family. Like Ezekiel, we are not inventing a new message for our people of these days. We're not trying to modernize the gospel to make it more palatable. This is God's word, and we declare it not as some strange God coming to America or coming to our people, but as the God who formed every one of them in the image of God. We're not going and bring in the word of a foreign God. This is the God who made America. And this is the God who made the world. And what we are declaring is his word to the people of his creation. We hear with our ears, we read with our eyes the word of God, and we declare it to the people of our generation as the authoritative word of God. Authority doesn't mean that God is somehow cruelly pushing his will upon the people. No, authoritative means this, that he has the right to speak what this people should do. Just as he has done to our life, when we saw the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we realized this is not a word from some God far away. This is the word of my God. And even when people say they are atheists, they're still the people that God made. They're still the people that God's Spirit wove together in their mother's womb. Do you realize that? It's not, this is our God that we are trying to persuade you of. No, this is your God who is speaking to you, who has sent his Son for your soul. You see that? This is a message of God's people from God, not in his, as they are the saved people yet, but as they are the people of his creation. For we know the dreadful responsibility that God has given us in our day, isn't it? The awesome weight of this. In many generations, people realized the weight of this message, and so when they died for this message, they did it with a song in their hearts, knowing they serve the Lord. We have much to be thankful for and yet much to pray for, but of all things, we need to realize again our call towards our day, the willingness to suffer for the people we love. So let's come to our second part here, the watchman's responsibility towards his people. The watchman's responsibility was really the lives of the people that he lived with. Can you imagine that? That God comes to you, your morning devotion, you're sitting by your coffee table or wherever you read the Bible in the morning with your cup of tea or coffee, and you're sitting there, and suddenly God sends an angel of the Lord into your room, and he says, I have given you a responsibility. And you say, by the grace of God, what is my responsibility? You, O Lord, the God that you serve, O angel of God, as the one who has sent me, and I will do anything what is necessary as long as you strengthen me. He says, well, the responsibility are the souls of this nation. What is it, 400 million plus, something like that? So many souls I have given as your responsibility to bring God's word to them. Well, okay, I'll go. Well, before you go, I want you to remember a Bible verse. Sure, any. One soul is more precious than the entire world put together, and suddenly it dawns on you that you have as your responsibility, your obligation to speak God's word to 400 plus million times the value of the entire world, no more than that, put together. So if you are a person who needs to be woken up and shaken up a bit with the sense of obligation, here it is. This is the obligation. But even if God would send an angel and send you to one person, says, your obligation is to preach your God's word to one person, whether they hear or whether they refuse to hear. You have in your care to bring the word of God to a person whose soul is more valuable than every company on the stock market put together, every animal in the world, even your cute pets, all of them put together. And you put the responsibility that you have, and it would fling all of the rest into eternity so far, it would outweigh the weight. And so Ezekiel is told if he would neglect his task, the watchman would be considered a traitor and a murderer. Right? Can you imagine that Ezekiel is here in Babylon, and then after a while, the people start wondering, why are we in this suffering? Why are we here in Babylon in hardship and pain and exhaustion? Why are we here? Why have we lost everything? And they begin to think and wonder. And they said, wasn't there a watchman on the tower? And then suddenly somebody is there and just wish and puts his face down to the ground and wishes he'd disappear. And all the eyes are fixed on him. And they said, weren't you the watchman? Why didn't you ring the bells? Why didn't you raise your voice? Well, he says, I was just busy doing other things. I was cleaning up my watchman tower, and I was putting decoration on the watchman tower, and I was growing my flowers in one corner and raising some little butterflies in the other end, and I was just going about making my watchtower just absolutely beautiful. You should have seen before the Babylonians tore down my watchtower in what perfect state my watchtower was. You'd be proud of me. What do you think they would say? Well, maybe they wouldn't say anything, but just pick him up and throw him out into the Kabar Canal. They would say, you have lost, you've cost the life of all of us, if they would have been surprised by an attack. That's the responsibility of a watchman. And that's why God places such emphasis on it. He says here in Ezekiel 3:18-21, if I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. At your hand. This is that obligation that of which Paul says, I am under obligation to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the fools, because otherwise I would have their blood on my hands. But if you warn the wicked, he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall surely die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. God is connecting the message to Ezekiel himself. Do you see that? He's doing that to us as well. Because God has sent us out into this world, not to go out to far countries. Remember previous chapter, I didn't send you to people of a strange tongue. I sent you to people of your own language. He's given us the responsibility to speak his word to this generation. Not to those in the 1600s and not to those in the year 2500, but to this generation, to bring them the word of God. If Ezekiel would neglect his task, God would blame him for the death of his people. Their blood would be upon his hands. Ezekiel was not responsible for their response, but for telling them the word of God. If you've shared the good news of Jesus Christ to your family day after day or to your neighbors, and they don't hear, you haven't failed. They have failed to hear God's word. But you must speak God's word. If you don't share it, then you have failed. Do you see how this works? You must give them the opportunity to hear God's word. out of the love of Christ's heart flowing through you, bringing it to them. You pray, you speak. You're not responsible for their souls. And what I think that many times happens, we share, there's no response, we feel like a failure, and we stop. No. What we do is we share it with the next person, and with the next person, and with the next person. And if we run out, we go to the first person and share it with him again, and we go on, we share the gospel. Sometimes I feel that we have this, I've experienced this in my own life. I'm so focused on one person, this person must know the gospel. And there's a line behind me who are willing to hear. And one day I realized, well, if this person doesn't want to hear, I shake his hand, I says, I will keep praying for you. But then I turn around, I share the gospel with another. And with another, and with another, and suddenly you find people saved here. The most unlikely of people come to know the Lord, while the people you think they're this close don't want to come in. But our responsibility is not to figure out who will come in or to persuade them in some way that they must obey. We tell them they should, but that's their responsibility. Your responsibility is to share God's word as God gives you opportunity. And so God didn't ask Ezekiel to do something impossible. It would be hard and difficult, but not impossible. And because it would be difficult, God gives his prophet a strict warning not to be weak or afraid. Ezekiel's fear for the people's rejection was to be nullified by his fear of disobeying God. Now, this is not the only motivation God gives us. God gives us very warm and encouraging motivation as spread this love, how happy, how beautiful are the feet of those who speak God, good news, right? There's a happy motivation of go out, this is glorious news. And there's also strict motivation. Why? Because God loves to bring his message to this world. And he will give us every argument, every possible way to motivate us to go out into this world. Do you see that? He uses, on the one hand, the strict and stern warnings. You must go for the days that we are kind of not feeling like it. He says, wake up, go. And in the other days, when we're discouraged, he says, go, how happy, how beautiful are the feet of those who declare the good news. He gives a word for every day. So that in season and out of season, we share God's word. It's really God's love behind this stern message. And so God gives us a holy fear this morning. A holy fear that comes with the awesome responsibility of being a member of a Bible-believing church. That which you hear, you must use to grow, but also to share. And especially to those who God has given gifts of sharing God's word as elders among us, who God has given the ability to teach and lead, of those who have been elders, or of our brothers and sisters who have gifts to share it, who have given a personality and a gift to speak with many people. He has given you much responsibility. Not to tell how what a wonderful person you are, and I hope they see that in Christ. They see Christ loving you and love that and are drawn to you because of that. But then to speak God's word wisely and say, but this is God's word for you. That he knows you. He knows you in your heart. And because of that, he has sent his son to cleanse your heart, to forgive all your sins, so that you one day would see all his heart, all his love, so that all of your sins, which now eat the back of your mind and give you a guilty conscience and take away the joy of this life, that all that burden would be lifted off and you would know what it means to be alive in God's presence. The Apostle Paul knew his responsibility This is not a catechism class, so I won't ask you to raise your hands if you know what verse we're speaking about here. But Paul, I think, when he wrote this, when he said this, he had this passage in Ezekiel in the back of his mind. It's Acts chapter 20, verse 26. He says this, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." You see the connection between these two verses? God said to Ezekiel, if you don't preach it, the blood is on your hands. And so some of you might say, well, that's the Old Testament prophet's way. God was really strict on those men. Paul says, there's no blood on my hands because I have declared God's entire message to you. In Paul's mind, he knew that if he didn't declare God's word to them, there would be blood on his hands. Like Ezekiel would have had blood on his hands if he didn't declare God's word. Paul received the same charge from God as Ezekiel had. He was to declare the whole counsel, all of God's words, or otherwise he would have their blood sticking on his hands. And so he brought God's word into the world all the time. Because this is not the only time he says this. Until he had taught them all and could say, I am innocent of your blood, for I have not withheld anything of God's message. You see the honor that Paul has here? Don't see it only as something frightening or something of a threat to you. See it as the honor of preaching the word of this incredible God of which we've seen the vision in Ezekiel chapter 1 and 2. This incredible honor of bringing his word, being his mouthpiece to the people of our day. Which then, if we wouldn't do that, it would only make sense that we would be guilty of the blood of our generation. Now, in God's church, of course, there's different levels of responsibility. Preachers are given the highest responsibility to preach God's word and to preach all of it. This verse here in Acts frightens me. Because when I look at my own hands, I know that if I'm going to lose this conviction that I have to preach to you all of God's word, there will be blood on my hands. Your blood will be on my hands. You would be guilty if you don't come to God. But your blood would be on my hands. I would be considered a murderer of souls. And so James says, not many of you should be called teachers, my brothers, but you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And so some of you have been given many gifts, but the sharing of the gospel, you have been given by God only a few people around you to share Christ's love. That is your great responsibility. And if you don't share it, their blood will be on your hands. But others of you, and I tremble when I say this, have been given great influence and great responsibility to share God's word to many, as you have been gifted to understand his word to a great degree and be able to share his word to a greater degree of influence. And I don't tremble because I don't think you're capable of, but I'm trembling because it's an awesome responsibility, my brothers and sisters, that you have been given. And as so many people, and on the radio, it seems to be that every pastor is thinking about, these are the end days, the last days. Their responsibility is all the greater. This might be the last great harvest rolling in. And so all of us, whether God has given us many talents or few, let us take this responsibility, not with a fright that makes us stop and don't move anymore, but with the right kind of motivation that says, I have a fear in my heart that will make my mouth speak, that will overcome the fear of man, because that's the purpose. not to make you so frightened that you don't move or that you're afraid of God, but to frighten you to such a point that it will overcome the fear of man, so that you do the task that God has given you. And so, Ephesians 4, verse 7 says this, but grace, or God's gifting of grace, was given to each of you according to the measure of Christ's gift. Not all of you are called to stand up here and declare God's word from a pulpit. Not all of you are sent out as missionaries into the world. Not all are like Rahi, who make it their life of sharing God's word constantly. His responsibility is great and awesome, requiring our daily prayers. But all of you have been given a gift of grace, the capability, the ability, the power, and the strength to open your mouth and share God's word in the sphere of influence that he has placed you in. A responsibility to show the Lord Jesus Christ through your words, through your actions, through your love and your labor. And God will hold us responsible to the gift, to the measure of the gift that he has given us. And so if you're wondering, what else can I pray for? Pray for me, that my hands would be clean as I faithfully deliver God's word. Pray for seminary students who are filling their toolbox, so to speak, to know all of God's word, to declare it faithful till the end of their lives, and not give up. Pray for one another, that God would help each one of us to share the gospel, because it's never easy, because remember, we have Satan and the demons pushing against us. Let us serve the Lord with fear and trembling, eager to do his will with all perseverance. For the last points of the watchman that I want to share with you is his perseverance. You see, I said the watchman's task is simple, but it's not easy. It's very plain, right? I could teach you in 5 minutes to be a watchman. You look that way, then you look that way, and then you look that way, and then you look that way again. And so all day you're looking at the horizon on every side, because there's a watchman covering that side, so you're focused on this, and there's a big bell hanging there. And if you see something that's not a tradesman or an Israelite, if you see an army coming over the horizon, you ring the bell. You got it? Let's go over it one more time. And after two or three times, I think you got it. Probably after the first time, probably I wouldn't even need to teach you. You probably got 95% of that just by hearing the word watchman. A watchman was not complicated, but it wasn't easy, because it required perseverance. If you want to see how the Bible connects, read the Psalms with the watchman in mind, because a lot of these songs are written by men of war, and they say, how I long for the morning. A watchman longed for the morning, because then his shift would change. And even he would have to stay awake the whole night, and you have to fight against that sleep, kind of like what we do when we drive for too long, right? We're fighting our sleep, and we're persevering, and it feels really dull, because all you need to do is open your eyes, but it's such a wrestling and fight. The watchman was to persevere. Wait long nights and nights in which sleep would try to overtake him, but the sense of his awesome responsibility would keep him awake at night. And so before God sends Ezekiel out to his post, he reminds the prophets of God's glory. And he lays his hands on the prophet. Now watch this. And the hand of the Lord was upon me there. I pray that God makes you feel that hand this morning, because I'm not just talking you a message like any other. This is a message that God will hold you responsible for the rest of your life. So I pray that you feel God's hand upon you this morning. He said to me, arise, go out into the valley, and there I will speak with you. So I arose and went out into the valley, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory that I'd seen by the Kabar Canal, and I fell on my face. The Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and he spoke with me and said to me, go shut yourself within your house. Be obedient. I told you the first time we dove into the book of Ezekiel, this is the prophet of the Holy Spirit. At least it's dominated by the Holy Spirit moving in his life constantly. And again, he has set in his post, this is your task. But before you go, I want to show you my glory one more time. That's what keeps the watchman awake at night. And that's what keeps us awake in our day, to see the glory of God. Ezekiel sees the glory again, and it hasn't become any less overwhelming. Do you realize? Immediately, boom, he falls on his face again. Now, we're not going to repeat everything from chapter 1 and 2 and this awesome presence that he saw and all the glory of it. I hope you remember. But as soon as he sees it, he realizes, this is my God. This is the one whom I serve. And when you go out as a watchman, the temptation is that you think, I'm just here alone in my watchman tower. I'm going around this world as a person trying to share the gospel, and it's me sharing the gospel and that person, and God says, but don't forget my glory. Don't forget whom you serve. I'm not sending you out as somebody who is representing some vague God. I'm sending you out as the God who is eternally glorious. And for us, we know even more, don't we? Because we see his glory not just in great lights and crystal ceilings. We see his glory on the cross. We see the Lord Jesus Christ as he is presenting himself to us in his amazing love week after week, as we are reminded by the greatest glory that we can ever perceive, God becoming man, dying upon the cross for us because of his awesome love that he has for you and me. And so as Christ comes to you this morning, as the Spirit moves upon you this morning, as the Father sent you out this morning, he is reminding us not of his glory by the Kabar Canal, but then the glory on Golgotha as he hangs. But then as the empty tomb shows his great power, this is the Lord Jesus Christ that places you as a watchman for these people. For our people. And as the Spirit lifted Ezekiel up, so the Spirit raises us up by his word and by the fellowship that we have. This is what allowed Ezekiel to persevere through his long ministry. And this is what persevered him through the dark nights and the hard days, because right next, he's, as you saw, and we'll look into that next week, he's bound on the ground. Ezekiel, here's your message. You're going to be bound on the ground for many days. You can't speak. Your tongue stuck to the roof of your mouth. But he had seen the glory of God. And so he was willing to do anything and everything. He has seen God's glory, and he has felt God's hand upon him as his Spirit raised him up. Beloved brothers and sisters, do you remember when the hand of God was upon you? When your soul was moved to share the gospel? When you couldn't talk about other stuff much, because all you could see is the urgent necessity for people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul had God's hand upon him, and it led him everywhere to speak God's word. I pray that God would move his hand upon you so that you've got to speak. You've got to share the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when one person doesn't hear, you don't stop and get discouraged. You go to the next, and to the next, and to the next, until certainly, like a gold miner, you struck gold. But it's the gold of the Lord. And it's the gold of those you share the gospel with. And suddenly you don't hear, I don't want to hear anything about it, but you hear, tell me more. And then you realize, praise be the Lord who saves an undeserving people through undeserving and often unholy vessels. We live in the last days. That's what Paul said. We certainly live in the last days now. Time is short. The coming of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is near. Let us not be sleeping watchmen. Let us be awake, doing the work of the Lord. Let us ring the gospel bells, blow the gospel trumpets, declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Let our hands be clean from the blood of this generation while we eagerly pray that many would hear. Listen to God's word and speak his word. If that's all what you've heard this morning, and you do that for the rest of your life, then you're faithful to God's word today. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of the ministry that you've given us, the great responsibility. We thank you that you make us partakers of this awesome call of the gospel into the world. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to be faithful to your word, that your word will not only go into our ears, but into our minds, not only into our minds, but into our hearts, not only into our hearts, but into all of our lives, so that we might give you glory. For we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.